Hallelujah. We're still on each one, reach one. It's important that we keep believing God for that person that you've got, I'm going to call it, on your hit list. Don't stop. You know, like the Bible says, no man can come to God unless he's drawn by the Father. Keep asking God, draw them, Father, and then open the door so I can sow a seed. We cannot save them. Only God can save them. We have to remember that. Only God can save them. We're told to preach, teach, speak, sow the seed. We're not called to save them. Only God can do that. So that takes the whole responsibility of us. We're just supposed to obey what God is telling us to do and keep within those boundaries, right? But something that's been rolling around in my heart for some time now. Do I pray for my neighborhood? What if every time you pull onto your street, you start praying for your neighborhood and saying, God, bring life to this neighborhood. Bring life to this neighborhood. I mean, you know, like there's different neighborhoods represented here. Bring life to this neighborhood. Bind the spirit of corruption. Bind the spirit of violence. Bind the spirit of child trafficking and sex trafficking. Protect the children. What if we did that every time? You know, sometimes I pull into my driveway, my street, 5, 6, 7 times a day. And if we all did that, we could change the spiritual environment in our neighborhood. Proverbs 3:29 says, do no harm to your neighbor. After all, he should be more secure because he lives near you. Come on. Because he lives near you. That's Bible. So how about we begin to train ourselves and take our neighborhood in the spirit realm. We have to take our city. You guys know, we know the call that's on Pastor Allen's life for this nation. You guys know what happened when he stood at the entrance of the door and thumped his chest and the tears started coming. You guys know that we're part of taking this nation for the kingdom of God. But, I mean, where's it going to start? We have to take the neighborhood. We can take the neighborhood, right? Come on! We can take the neighborhood. I have authority. You have authority. It's been given to us by Jesus. He told his disciples, I give you power. I give you power. I give you power and authority over all the power that the enemy possesses. You have power and authority in your neighborhood. You have power and authority over corruption in your neighborhood, child trafficking in your neighborhood, one street at a time. Who says we can't do it? Come on. Jonah, we're going to talk about fasting today, actually, but I didn't want us to let go of each one, reach one. Jonah, you know, he rebelled. We all know the story. He finally obeyed God. He walked into the city, and the Bible says Nineveh was a wicked, evil, large city. And he walked in the city, and he started saying, 40 days in this Nineveh is going to be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days. And so the Bible, the Amplified says it was 60 miles around the circumference of it. And he walked 3 miles. So that meant, my presumption, he walked 20 miles a day and just kept saying, 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. He probably screamed it because he had to get people's attention, I'm presuming, right? 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. 40 days, for 3 days, he walked 20 miles, and everywhere he went, he said that. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And they knew. The Bible says that the people believed God. It didn't say the people believed Jonah. The people believed God. And they proclaimed a fast. The people. And they proclaimed a fast, which is amazing. Jonah just kept on walking 40 days. Finally, the king got a hold of it, and he made a decree, and he said, everybody's fasting. Everybody's fasting, including the cows and the chickens. Everybody's fasting. We're all fasting, the animals. It doesn't tell us how long. We don't know how long. We don't know if it was a day or we don't know. But what's so cool is it turned the city around. That fast turned the city around. They came to repentance and turned the city around. The people heard it. They knew it was God. They all fasted. They all fasted and turned the city around. What will happen if corporately, like this was like a corporate fast, right? The whole city, including the animals, and turned that city around. And history says that they were not judged for over 100 years. And Nineveh was instrumental in judging northern Israel in that given time because they were walking with God. Amazing. Huge city, full of evil, wicked, violent city. And because they declared a corporate fast, that city was turned around. What can we do in our city? I know we're just a little group, but what can we do in our city if we fast corporately? If we fast corporately. Nineveh heard the message one time. One time, because he kept walking. And so, you know, this street and that street and that street is going to, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And he kept walking 20 miles a day. He kept walking. Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days. So they heard it once. But the Bible says they heard and believed God. It's amazing. And the people proclaimed a fast. And then somewhere in that journey, the king heard it and declared a decree. I want to share a testimony that I recently experienced. I've had a couple issues where I've been stuck. I've been speaking the word of God, believing God, and I thought, this thing is not moving. It was two issues. It's not moving. So the first week of June of this year, the first week I thought, I'm going on a fast until I know what to do, until I've heard from God. I fasted, prayed, all distractions removed. You know, like when we hear a fast, we think of Dave Roberson, 40 days. Praying 15, 18 hours a day. And I mean, you're defeated before you even get started. This was a man that worked full-time ministry. This wasn't a man that, you know, had jobs and a bunch of other things. And it's like, I'm good if I'm doing an hour. I'm good if I fast 2 hours, whatever, right? But God sees that. He sees where we are willing and able to start. And so what I did was I shut everything down and I fasted Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the first week of June. I did an intermittent fast. It wasn't a full fast. It was an intermittent fast. Nothing. I thought, bless God, I'm going to hear from God. I need a breakthrough. The next week, which would have been June the 10th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything shut down, quiet. No contact, no phone, no nothing, nothing. Praying, fasting. Nothing. Nothing was coming alive. So now we're day six, intermittent fasting, 3 to 4 hours of praying in tongues. I'm not talking 18 hours every day, right? You do what you can, and that's the lesson we need to learn. Like, we can, like when I read like Dave Roberson and all those preachers, and it's like, I can't even go there. That's an impossible mountain for me. I can't do this. But what I did, I thought, I'm going to get the answer. So this was June 10th, 11th, and 12th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, nothing. Saturday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, whoom, thud in my spirit. I got the answer. 7 o'clock in the morning. It just dropped. And it's like, I got the answer on two issues. One was rock solid, and the other one was, I think, but it was rock solid. I knew what to do. I knew what to say. I knew where to go. I knew who to contact. I knew. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the next week. Now we're talking 17, 18, 19. I thought, I need clarification. I need clarification on that. I knew the first one was rock solid. Again, a few days later, I kept praying that week, the third week. Now we're the third week, 3 days. And before the week was over, there was contact with the right person. Boom! Got the answer. Boom. Because I fasted. There has to be an element of persistence when we fast. You know, and we've done it hit and miss and here and there, but we haven't seen the results that we wanted, right? And that sets you up for unbelief. I want you guys to get the victory. And like, you know, we've prayed on Wednesday nights, for, you know, for Vicky, for Diana, for different ones. And it's like, no, I want this to work. And I'm telling you, this is hot off the press. It worked for me. But I had determined in my heart, I'm staying before God until... But it took 9 days, 4 hours a day, and intermittent fasting. So I didn't live like this holy, holy life where I did 40 hours, right, and stuff like that. And that it was very simple. It was what I could handle. It was what I could do. But God came through, and that's what I want to get across to you. God came through. Where are you stuck? Where are you stuck? How bad do you want to be free? I needed answers. I had to have answers, and I stayed with it, I stayed with it, I stayed with it. And you know, like in the Old Testament, in the Day of Atonement was decreed, and they had to fast and pray and do nothing. And that is still going on today with the Jewish people. They did nothing. It had to be a day of rest, no distractions whatsoever. And that is, Paul talks about in the book of Acts, he calls it the fast, and that's the Day of Atonement. And they're still doing that to this day. So I got two answers. It, like within 15 days, 18 days, and not a full week of fasting. Three partial days. Well, an intermittent fasting, but three partial days of praying in tongues specifically. And I kept speaking the word, Lord, you said, Lord, you said, Lord, you said, Lord, you said, you said. I had a promise. I had a promise. One of the promises was, you said you would instruct me in the way I should go. That was one promise. You said it. You said it. I hold you to your word. Praying in tongues some more. I brought the promises back up again. Praying in tongues some more. But I got the answer. I got the answer. It's like, and we need to get this. Like, fasting is a lost art. You guys know that when we first started here, we knew that intercession was a lost art in the church, absolutely lost art. But here we are, and we've been praying for X number of years, and now we're teaching Brazil because we know intercession is a lost art in Brazil. But it's not here. It's in our hearts. Well, now we got to resurrect the fasting in our church, in our midst. We have to build that into our hearts so that we do it. There's nothing more exciting when you get an answer to prayer that's been a wait for months. I mean, I was ready to jump off a cliff. I was yes, yes, yes. He came through, right? And it's like, why wouldn't he? He says in the word, 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and pray and fast and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. We want him to heal Canada, but it's going to start here. I've got a faith that when I fast and pray, he's going to answer. He's going to answer. And if we seek his face, he will show us our wicked ways. What are wicked ways? Lying, you know, heart sins that nobody sees. Eating a grape bit from the grocery store, that stuff. You know, like, he will show us when we seek him face to face, and he'll deal with the issues that are in your heart. Then he will heal the land. Then. I've taught on 2 Joel the importance of corporate fasting and prayer. The body of Christ has to pray corporately to get the results that we're all longing for, and that is God will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. It's not going to happen if the church does not fast and pray. It's not going to happen. James 5:16 says, he is waiting. No, James 5, 6, and 7, I think it is. He is waiting patiently for the harvest. The harvest needs the rain. Intercession brings the rain. And if the church will not pray and intercede and fast, there will not be rain. And the church is waiting. The church is waiting for God to do something. God is waiting for the church to do it. We have the authority here. He's waiting on us. So it's so critical. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. We all know the story, but just take a look at a couple of the scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus went into the wilderness. When you go into the wilderness, there's nothing but wild animals to fast. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness to fast. He fasted 40 days. That's big. Too big for me. But he did it. And so have some of the ministers that we know. That's too big for me. But look at verse 14. He returned in the power of the Spirit after he fasted. He did nothing ministry-wise until he was 40 days in the wilderness fasting. And that released him into the ministry. 40 days. But fasting, we can see from here, fasting released the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you from what I just experienced, fasting released the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I got the answer. I got the answer. In Jonah, they fasted and turned the judgment of God around. The whole city. The whole city is huge. St. Thomas is nothing for God. I mean, it doesn't have a 60-mile radius. St. Thomas is nothing for God. Right? The most wicked city of the time, they repented with fasting and stopped the judgment of God. I just want to give you some more examples on fasting and the importance of it. It's so important that we get this so that we learn to do it. We learn to do it. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra was assigned to move. Some people's historians say 30,000. Some people say 50,000 people, Jewish people, that were in exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem. They knew they had to cross very, very dangerous territory. And they were concerned about their safety. And so the Bible says that they proclaimed a fast and appealed to God for protection. 50,000 people. And it was, I think, a 40-day journey. That's big. Ezra 8:23 said, "So we fasted and we sought God and he answered us." That's big. Come on! That's big. We sought God and fasted, and he answered us. Not one died. And there was men, women, children. They had all the oracles that were supposed to be in the temple. Gold. They had wealth with them. The oracles for the temple. Wealth. Here's another one. This one's good. This is 1 Kings 21. Elijah confronts Ahab. We all know who Ahab is. The most wicked king ever up to that time. The most wicked king. Elijah confronts him and says, "Every male and every female of the house of Jeroboam and Baasha will be destroyed." Ahab heard these words, tore his clothes, and fasted. Ahab, the king, wicked king, and fasted. That's verse 27. Verse 29, and God answered. God answered when he fasted. Ahab humbled himself before me. This is what verse 29 says. God answered, "Ahab humbled himself before me, and because of that, I will not bring this calamity into his life." Now, there's more. There's more. God tells him more, but I'm going to stop with that. So if fasting could do that for the most wicked king of his time, what will it do for you and me? What will it do? So exciting. Esther, another one. So exciting. She was required to avert the disaster to the Jewish people in the kingdom of Persia. The kingdom of Persia had 120 provinces. 120 provinces. A lot of Jews. And she told her cousin Mordecai, "Go tell the Jews in Shushan, I think it is, and we will fast." And it was a 3-day fast. And she was going to approach the king because she had to turn this plot around, which was illegal. She could have been killed right there because it was illegal to approach the king unless he put out his scepter. So they went on a 3-day fast, everyone. And guess what? The whole situation was reversed. We know it. The whole situation was reversed because they fasted. This was a corporate fast. Ahab, it was a single fast. Jonah and Nineveh, it was a corporate fast. It was a congregational corporate fast, right? And there's others. There's Nehemiah, there's Daniel, there's Jeremiah, there's Isaiah, different ones that fasted and saw God move. Absolutely saw God move. What changed the history was when God's people fasted. Are you getting a picture of this? No wonder the enemy tries to stop this and bury this, right? And like we're learning about crucifying the flesh. And you know, the only answer to crucify the flesh is execution. Fasting is part of it. Fasting is part of it. You know, Pastor Ellen taught about that. The strong man, you got to kill him. The old man, rather, you got to kill him. You know, and like fasting is part of that. Fasting will help you crucify the flesh while you're in the fast. It resurrects it, tries to, as soon as you're off the fast. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, Satan does not want us to do this. And like if these people got such amazing results, why can't we? Why can't we? Right? In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5, Paul is describing what he went through to prove himself as a minister. And one of them was in fastings often. The list is huge, the things he went through. But fastings often. It says he was hungered many times, but that wasn't a fast. That was because there was no food. But he chose to fast. He subdued his flesh. He said, I'm doing this because I need God to move. Fasting releases the power of God. Fasting gets us out of the way so that God can move in our midst. That's what fasting does. We're out of the way. We're surrendering to God and asking God to move on our behalf. Nineveh is such a great example. They did not want Nineveh destroyed, and they fasted. It was amazing. Again, Paul describes, to prove himself as a minister, he describes it again in 2 Corinthians 11, in fastings often. And he walked in power. Acts 13, verse 1 to 4, we've read this many, many times, you know, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke. There was five men that were praying and ministering to the Lord, and Paul and Barnabas were included. They were teachers and prophets. And as they ministered to the Lord by fasting, the Lord said. The Lord said. What did the Lord say? Separate Paul and Barnabas. Separate them. They got direction. They got clarity. They knew what to do. And then it says in verse 3, and when they fasted and prayed, so they fasted and prayed again. Then they laid hands on them and sent them out as apostles, missionaries. But it was after they fasted and prayed. Acts 14 and 14, Paul and Silas had been to many cities, and led a lot of people to the Lord, many believers, many disciples. And it said that in Acts 14, 23, he ordained elders in every church, and they prayed and fasted. They did not do it until they spent time praying and fasting. They got direction. It brought clarity. It brought direction. It brought intervention. I mean, everything we're seeing from the Word of God, it brought intervention. Amen? Prayer with fasting, Paul and Silas received the mind of the Lord and the direction of the Holy Spirit. No distractions, no reasonings, no good ideas, only God, you've got to talk to me. That's all. I have to hear from you. I have to know what you want in this situation. I need things clear. Why am I stuck on this? Why can't I get the breakthrough on this? What is happening to me? What's wrong with me? What's going on? Why can't we move forward? With prayer and fasting. Only doing what God is saying. 2 Chronicles, I said it earlier, if my people will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, fast and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. We have to do it God's way. And if he requires fasting, we have to do it God's way. And I mean, we've got so many examples where, you know what, you want a breakthrough? That's what they did. The Old Testament saints and even Paul, the New Testament saints, they just knew, let's fast. Then we'll get the breakthrough. They had faith for it because they knew how to operate in it. They just did it. They fasted. And so I encourage you. I so encourage you. When we have our fast next Wednesday, come prepared. Decide where you need the answer. Together we will pray in tongues, but specifically you're going to focus on where you need the breakthrough. And then you stay on that until you do. So rather than praying for individual needs next week, we're going to pray together in agreement, but you'll know what you need. And we'll be praying for 3 hours. God, the needs. Meet the needs. Give direction. Make it clear. Make it clear. Joel chapter 2, I just quoted that. The requirement was corporate congregational prayer, fasting, and intercession. And then God will be able to pour out of his Spirit. Without that, it is not going to happen. When we do things God's way, God is able to answer. And fasting needs to be part of our lifestyle. In Matthew chapter 6, in the parable of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you give, not if you give, when you give. Not like the hypocrites. Do it my way. Do it my way. I will reward you openly. He said, when you pray, not as the hypocrites, I will reward you openly. When you fast, not as the hypocrites, where they make a big public display, I will reward you openly. You'll get your answers. And like it was like God was saying, this is what I expect from you. I expect you to give, I expect you to pray, I expect you to fast. This is what I expect from you. This needs to be part of your life. This needs to be part of our lives. We need to incorporate this as a church, that when we come together and have a church day of prayer and fasting, that at the end of the season, whether it's a day, 3 days, 2 days, we see God move. We see God move. We can back it up with the Word of God. We see God move, but we have to have faith in it. And when you can experience it yourself, personally, it just puts fire in you. It's like, yes, 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 it works. It works. But there has to be an element of determination. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the answer. I need the answer. I have to have the answer. And God will honor. When you pray, he will reward you openly. When you fast, he will reward you openly. He rewarded me openly. I got my answer. I got my answers to two critical issues. I got the answer. He rewarded me openly. Amen? Amen. You got this? We fast, and we're going to establish that as a church, the way we established intercession and travail. Same thing. We need to get a hold of this, but we can expect supernatural results when things are not moving in our midst, and we declare a corporate fast, and we come together on the same page with the same mind, we will see God move. We have scripture to back it up. We have scripture to back it up. Amen? Okay, so tomorrow at 6:30, we're connecting with the church family in Brazil. Pastor Allen pastors a small church in Alphaville, and they've asked if we would pray with them for the conferences. So we'll be here 6 shortly after to do a bit of worship, and at 6:30 we will connect with them and pray for the conference specifically. And if you can get some fasting in as well, that would be great, because we've just learned. What does fasting do? It releases the power of God. It gets you out of the way. It gets all your carnal thinking out of the way. It gets all the good ideas out of the way. It gets all the reasonings out of the way. I only need to hear from God. And you listen and key into your spirit and shut this down. Shut this down, because, you know, anybody can come up with any great ideas and make it work for a little while. But when it goes thud, like a ton of bricks just hit my spirit Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, just as clear as a bell. And I mean, I think Michelle and I, she called me, I think about 45 minutes later, and said, I've been on a fast, I just got the answer. It just fell into my spirit, man. And that's the key, is like, you're not moved, that you're not getting an answer immediately. Don't be moved. Be persistent. Be persistent. Be persistent. I'm going to get the answer. I'm going to get the answer. I'm going to get the breakthrough. I'm going to find out what's going on. I'm going to do this. It took me 3 days for 3 weeks. That's not big. For me, that I could handle that. Praying 3 to 4 hours in tongues. And I got my answer. And it was a pretty big issue. And I got the answers. So I encourage you, come prepared tomorrow if you can. Fast, come with us. Let us strengthen the churches in Brazil. Through the book of Acts, I think there's about 4 or 5 times where it says, and Paul strengthened the believers, and Paul strengthened the disciples, and Paul strengthened the churches. Well, that's our role tomorrow, is that we strengthen the church in Brazil. They're so hungry to learn. They're so hungry to learn, and they just want to do it right. And so we're going to come on board with them and agree with them that the conference will just be opposition-free. And we have scripture and verse that we can drive and stop opposition. Right? If we fast. You know, we've got the prayer down, but it's time to get another pillar going, and that's fasting. And it's like, do what you can. Don't do more than what you can't. Do what you can. And if you miss it one day, just pick it up the next day again. And it's like, you know what? I'm doing this because I've got to have the answer. Amen?